So it's a hard, tough day for us after the tragedy that happened at the Sion. But we as a Jewish nation have it in us that we always are resilient. We always get up. We get smacked, we fall, but we get up. So in this week's parsha, it's very interesting what the Torah says. That Rivka became pregnant. Finally, she became pregnant. She was took 20 years of marriage. Question in the Medrash, how many years? They davened 10 years. But the bottom line is, he got married, Yitzchak with Rivka, when he's 40, and the children were born when he was 60. So it wasn't easy going having children. And finally, they have a child, she's pregnant. And Rivka has such a difficult pregnancy that she says, "In kezeh lomon daifi, why am I? What is this all about?" Very interesting how the Moors began with sort of giving up, not having the children, finally did have a child, became pregnant. The pregnancy was extremely difficult. And then she tailored Lidris Hashem. She went to ask the Novi, what's going to be? What is with the pregnancy? And he explained it to her. He told her the very, very interesting thing. There's two nations in the stomach. When they come out of the stomach, they become two different people. Two different extreme things. Rashi says, either one is going to be on top, or the other one. Either Esav is strong, or Yaakov is strong. It's either. He says, the end is going to be, the older one is going to have to work for the younger one. That is the older one, so is the younger one. This is an incredible lesson for us. That in, we're here in this world for the struggle. Esav represents the Yetzer Hara. See, Yaakov represents the Yetzer Tov. You know, Nachman says in the first lesson, he explains that Yaakov represents Chochmah, meaning you want to live your life with wisdom. When you want to live your life with Yetzer Hara, it doesn't work with wisdom. It's your desires, your feelings, your wants, and your craving. It's nothing to do with discipline, nothing to do with think it through, is this right to do? The Koyach of Yaakov was Chochmah, because Yaakov the Chachmeni Zephamoy, Kemeni Zephamoy. That means Yaakov represents wisdom, Yaakov, and which represents that Yaakov Avini says, my life, a Jewish life, is we think it through. The Esau's life is, it's amazing. You know, it's even, every year we read a parsha, it hits me an amazing thing. Esau says to Yaakov, I'm very hungry. Pour down the red lentil soup my throat, and I'll sell you my firstborn rights. Are you kidding me? Imagine you come home, and you're really hungry, and your brother says to you, you know what, I have some, you know, stew on the plate. I'm going to give it to you, but I want you to sell me your firstborn rights, which is worth a few million dollars. After dad dies, I'm going to get the double portion. I mean, for lentil soup? Are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, you think Esau comes up, okay, you don't want to, I don't need your papers, I'll get myself something. What does the Torah teach us? That the Koyach has Esau, I am hungry now, and I don't care what's going to be after my father's death, I'll have money right now, I am hungry, I want to have the food. Because Esav, Rav Nachman explains, represents lo yachpoitz sil b'sinu. A fool does not want to use his wisdom. Sil is the Esav Harishleim Melech. Means, if he's a fool, of course he doesn't use his wisdom. There is a part of us who wants to be foolish. That's the Yetzirah. Don't think. You ever notice the person does sometimes, and he knows, you know, this is wrong, but don't think, just do it, never talk about it. You know what I mean? It's part of the Yetzirah is not to think. Part of the main thing of the Yetzirah is to think. What am I doing? So Esau was willing and sold, not just willing, sold his firstborn rights for lentil soup, from red lentil soups. Because that's the nakamina of Yaakov and Esau. But it says that there's a factor always, either this or that. We all have a battle every day. The Yetzirah. We are in a battle. And we are here for the battle. Many people don't realize this. I've said this more than once. The Pasuk says next week's parsha, that Yaakov got the name Yisroel. So Rashi, the Pasuk says, what does Yisroel mean? Yisroel imalekim, you fought with the Malach, but Tuchal and you won. Well, it doesn't say, the name Yisroel doesn't mean that you won. The name Yisroel means Yisroel, so you fought with the Malach. We should have the name winning. Batuchal should be the name. We're here to fight the gates of Hara. Yisroel means Yisroel Malakim. We're here for the fight. And every day we have this challenge. And the challenge is to think and not to let yourself not to think. You gotta think, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I doing the right things in life? And there is always a fight. The Yetzirah wants this, but we have to pull it back. That's Nira'oy Niyamas. See, Esau represented, doesn't want any part of Oilam Haba. Esau wants only Oilam Haza. The Medrash says, the Yanker and Esau were fighting the mother's tomb already, what are they going to get? He says, you know what, I want just this Oilam Haza. Yanker says, I want Oilam Haba. They already then talked about it in the mother's womb. I'm going to tell you something very, very interesting to understand the depths of this. Esau is called Esau. Why did he gave the name Esau? He came out a hairy child like an adult. Rashi says, Lord, Esau means he came out asui, sort of like a finished product. Asui, that's a... So the Rishonim say his name should not be Esau, Ayin, Shin, Vav. Should have been Ayin, Shin, Vav, Yud, Asui, Don. Rashi explains his name Esau was because he came out Kila Kaderes, full of hair like a mature person. So should have said Asui. So if Pasuk says, V'yodoi, V'yankev, Achezes is holding on the Eker, the heel of Esau. So the Megala Mukos, one of the great Balei Kibbolim, says a profound thing he says. An incredibly profound thing he says. He says that Yaakov took away the Yud from Esau. Esau's name should have been Aleph, Shin, Vav, Yud, Asui. And Yaakov's name should have been Akev. Why was he called Akev? Because he's holding on the heel of his brother. He came out holding on the heel. So how did the Yud get there? His name should have been Asui, and Yaakov's name should have been Akev. Yaakov stole the Yud out of Esau already. Yodoi Achezes, Yodoi is the letters Yud. Yodoi, if you switch it, it is the same letters as makes Yud. When he grabbed the heel, he took away the Yud from Esau and it became Yaakov. What does this mean? Because Yud always represents Chachma. If you know a little bit of the Kabbalah, Rambam speaks a lot about this. Yud always represents the Machshava, the thought, the Chachma. So Yaakov says, I am Chachma. Esau doesn't have. Esau's entire Esau is this world. How can I live it up in this world? So he took away the Yud of Esau, and that's why it's spelled Ayin Shin Vav.
Incredible.
That says Yodoi Achezes Be'eker. Yodoi is the Yud. He took the Yud away from Esau, and that's how he became the Ur-An of Yaakov. Because what we're trying to explain over here, which Rav Nachman says, we must use Chachma. How do you use your Chachma? You must take time for yourself and think to yourself and talk to yourself. What am I doing with my life? To face yourself. Because, you know, you could be a Chachma over here doesn't mean being a genius. The many geniuses who messed up their life big time. I'm sure you all have people who are bright and just live a horrible life. Chachma means to sit down and common sense. What am I doing with my life? The more you ask yourself, where am I in this world? What am I doing? The more you come to the answers, they'll come in. But the trick is, Rav Nachman teaches, we've got to use Yaakov. We've got to use the word Yaakov. See, Akev, let me explain even more deeper. Akev represents the heel. And so Nassim says, that which really means, that Nassim explains, that the Yodoi also represents Tfilah, the Yod of Amunah. Rav Nachman always says, the Pasuk says by the Chayim is Doi Gemulgoi, but Yodoi Amunah. So Yodoi represents Amunah and Davani. So the Ikness of the Mashiach, says the Nassim, the end Mashiach is coming, we're going to have to, Omi Koyach is Davani. And talk to Hashem and scream to Hashem. That is the biggest tikkun that we can have as a davening. So that's what he says. From Eikov, from the heel, we have to bring the heel all the way. He took away the yud to be chokhmah, and that's why he was called Yisroel El next week's parsha. Yisroel is the letter Li Rosh. Very important, because that's what we have to do, is keep thinking, is the Kodesh. So let me tell you a little more what the Megal Mikus says, a very, very profound thing he says. Rashi brings in the Pasha Bichikosai, a very interesting guy. But as Harti is Bisi Yitzchok, of Bisi Yanke, Sabrisa Avrum Eskoy, Yaakov is spelled with a vav there. Five places is Yanke put in the vav. Yaakov is normally spelled Yud, Ayin, Kif, Yud Ayin Ki Beis. Yud Ayin Ki Beis. In five places, there's a vav added to it. So Yaakov, Kuf, it's a base vav. So added a vav to it. In five places, Eliyahu is missing a vav. Instead of Eliyahu, it says Eliyah. You know, there's two Eliyah, and Nach. There's an Elia and Eliyahu. But there's five places where we talk about Eliyahu, and there's a vav missing. So Rashi says, and Rashi brings the Medrash, there are five places that Yaakov Avinu took away the vav from Eliyahu, and he told Eliyahu, I want to pay some tolda, I'm taking the vav on Mashke, because I want you to make sure Mashiach is going to come. Very interesting, Rashi. So the Megal Amikra, he says, a Moiri Digazach, he says. He says, you know what that vav really is? That vav is Esav. Again, Esav is spelled Ayin, Shin, Vav. That vav is from Esav. And that vav is, Yaakov wants to take it away. But Esav needs a little bit of the vav. But Yaakov really wants to take away the vav from Esav. Why? What does this vav still represent? So, the Megal Amikra says something very interesting. He says a very, very interesting thing. He says, in this world, Esav is yoinik from the vav. Yoinik means he gets nourishment. It's hard to get from the vav. The vav represents the six brachas of Berachas Koyhan. Berachas, it's the six brachas, if you know, it's very famous. Berachas Hashem Yishmerechu. Each one has two, there's three sukkim, and each one has three, and it's six, divided into six brachas. So the clippers need a unique a nourishment from this, and Yaakov wanted to take it. Mashiach is going to come that is going to take away the wealth from Esav. Esav will become Ash, Ayin, Shir, into words, nothing, into smoke, into nothingness. But right now, Esav has the wealth. But there's another way to explain this. Because the Vav represents Emes. You know that the biggest power of the Klippas in the Yetzer Hara, because they steal a little Emes with them. For instance, let's just talk a simple thing. We need to eat. It's true, we need to eat. And you can't exist without eating. Can't go on without eating. The Yetzer Hara makes you eat a lot and indulge in the food and everything's that way. But if everything the Yetzer Hara works, it doesn't come to you with a grandiose lie. The Yetzer Hara doesn't come that way. It comes, you know, you're tired, you're not to do this, and you have to do this. It's a little, it takes some truth. It's the Rashi says, I'll tell you, by Raglan, a little emes, then the whole shekel falls apart. The fool people, you have to be a little truth. That's the trick of fooling people. The trick of the Yetzer Hara as a little emes, and that's how he manages, drives us into shokachas. Very, 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 very important. Kitta Lochus talks a lot about this. That means that it doesn't come and tell a guy, you know, you should think about yourself, you're brilliant and you're the good. No, it doesn't. A little MS, and then he takes the MS. It's like the first lie the Nochash told to Chava. Let me just give a moshe. He said to Chava, did Hashem tell you not to eat any of the eight sagan? He lied. He didn't say not to eat any of them. He says, I'm not allowed to eat for the middle one. But he didn't come to say, he said a lie, you're not allowed to eat some of them, but he didn't eat it. Isn't it true that Hashem said you're not allowed to eat anything from the God? So there was a little, in the Yetzer Hara, the Nochash, the snake, the wicked guy up there, had a drop of truth in it. Yes, it is one thing you're not allowed to eat, but he started the conversation to ensnare, trap Chava. He started off how? Very interesting how the Yetzer Hara works his ways. Very, very interesting. So the whole thing is that when Mashiach is going to come, Esav is going to lose the Vav. He has no Emes. Because the Zohar always said the us Vav represents Emes. He's going to lose that Vav, and there'll be no he'll have no Emes with him, and the lady will look at him in the eye and say, you're a liar! You know, it's a trick to look someone in the eye and say, you just lied to me. Because sometimes they say a little bit of truth. That's where they distort it. So that's why Eliyahu missing a Vav five times, because that Vav is supposed to represent that the Mashiach is going to come, Esav will lose totally the Vav, and we're going to have the, what's his name, Kiloy Emes. And that's why we say Eliyahu is going to come. The world will be Kiloy Emes. You know, the Rebbe Nachman says a very interesting thing in a place. He says, why do we believe, it's a famous question the world asks. The long the Torah asks. The mother says, if I have a Veda, let's wait till Eliyahu is going to come. And let us tell her who it belongs. So the belt asks the Kasha, the long the Torah, Eliyahu is only one head. One witness. You can't trust one witness. He says, not Eliyahu is going to say. When Eliyahu is going to come, Nachman says, the lies are going to fall apart. No one is going to lie. Right now, unfortunately, we like the lie. Mashiach comes, that is going to disappear. And the lie is going to be able to look at the truth. See, right now, the truth is difficult to get. That's why Yaakov is titled Emes Liyakov. Because Yaakov represents the truth. And how do you get to the truth? Because one of the ways you get to the truth is you daven. And you focus and you say the words of tefillah with truth. You say it out. You say it out with powerful truth. Just be true, you say it out. The more you stay with Emes, the more you let the light of Hashem into yourself. Hashem is Emes, is the truth. Shlach Orchu Damitchu. The light of Hashem is the truth. The more you are truthful with yourself, the more you're honest with yourself, the more you look for the truth, the more the light of Hashem penetrates to you. And the more you're able to see, oh, you're the body of Shalom, what am I doing? I gotta change. Every person knows that certain things you gotta change, but we push it off. Not so bad, it's okay. The more eminence that you let into yourself, the more you look at yourself in the mirror. This is me? Is this what I'm doing? Right now, we fool ourselves. You know, we live in a dinyan, Rashi Halacha says a very, very, very interesting thing. Really, many of the scholars say this already. The Malbim says this too, and others say this. It says in the Parsha that Esav was going to get the prophecy of Yaakov. Yaakov was going to bless, I mean, Yitzchak was going to give the brachas to Esav. How is this? Why would Esav get the brachah? Why did Yitzchak, and why did Yitzchak make such a terrible mistake? And it's a very, very, the Kitta Halachos talks a lot about it. It's possible for a tzaddik like Yitzchak to make a terrible mistake. I've been asked this question, every 2 years people ask me this question. What? Yitzchak could not know that Esav is so wicked? The day Avram died, Rashi brings down, he did 5 avodas. He murdered, he raped, he didn't believe in Hashem, didn't believe in Chesam Esam. 5 big avodas. And Yitzchak wanted to give him the brachas. That's a very famous question. Now, many learn, that's a simple pshat, that Yitzchak did not know the truth. So let me explain this, I've come to the Zohar. Why was this that Yitzchak did not know the truth? The Zohar says a very, very profound explanation. The Zohar says that Yaakov Avinu was a Gilgal of admiration. And Esav is a Gilgal of the Nochash HaKadmoni. So the Zohar says a very interesting thing. When the Nachash wanted very much other Rishon to sin, and he should die, he should marry Chava, and he'll get the blessings of the world. He knew very clearly that Adam is the blessing of the world. So he wanted Adam out of the picture, he should marry Chava, and he should get all the whole blessing of the world. That was his plan. But you know, all robbers and all crooks, they plan and things go disarray. He didn't want Chava to eat. His plan was somehow Chava should not eat. All the ministry should eat, and I'll marry her. That was his plan. So, and how did he do that? But he came with a lie. Tried to seduce Chava, and he came with a lie. So everything in this world is a boomerang, has to come have a ticket. So Yaakov, as the Zohar says, is the Gilgal of the Merishim. And Esav is the Nochash. This time Yitzchak wanted to give all the blessings to Esav. But just like the last Gilgal, the Tikkun was, you lie, so now it's going to be taken away from you. See, originally Esav, the Nochash, wanted very much to get the blessing of the world. And he came with a huge lie. So this had to be replaced as the Zohar. Because the Zohar is bothered. Why did the brachas have to come through a whole trickery? Why not straight? Why so straight? So blessed Yaakov. It needed a ticking upon creation. Because the Nachash lied. In order for them to die, he should marry Chava. So this is going to happen, the replay. Esau was supposed to get the brachas, and now we're going to take it away from him. Yitzchak did not know, and Yaakov had to come and take his manish. I say in English, pull the rug under his nose, under his legs. So, but many learn, Yitzchak didn't know. Pshat, Yitzchak didn't know. That means in this world, we don't always know the truth. Sometimes the truth is hidden from us. Very important. We love to believe that I know the truth. We love to believe that I know everything. It's not so simple. We don't know the truth. We don't know everything. Yitzchak was able to make such a mistake. For sure could make such a mistake. But then the Nosson says, a little differently in another place, tries to explain that Yitzchak's plan was that there should be a socher in his bosom. That Yaakov should sit and learn, and his children, and his socher, and Esau should be the supporters of the Torah. So you want to give all the gashmias to Esau, and your job is to support, what's her name, Ephraim Yaakov. Rivka knew that this is. This was the. That means Rivka knew that Esau is rah, is bad, he's evil. Not just evil. See, there's two things. There's a guy who wants gashmias. He wants a good steak every day. He wants his Yetzer Hara. Pretty woman he wants. He wants Yetzer Hara. He's busy. But he could be a moral person. He doesn't steal. He doesn't, you know. He's not a fraudulent person. He just enjoys his cholentany exercise. He enjoys his world. But that wasn't Esau. Esau thought that's what Esau is all about. Esau had evilness in him. He represents the Yetzer Hara. And we all have the Yetzer Hara in us. And the trick is to this, is to take Yodoi Achezes Be'ekav Be'esau. We have Esau to pull out the Yud we should pull out, use Chachma, and pull away the Vov from Esau. Each one has to pull away the one from Esau to take the sheker, to separate the emes from the sheker, and the more emes you are, the more the clippers move away from you. See, there's another very, very important question that the Mefarshei HaTorah are very puzzled. Let me give you a story to explain the question. A guy was arrested. Why was he arrested? He broke into the bank and he stole $50,000 cash. And he shot it at the police. He didn't hurt anyone. But then he was arrested for robbery, attempted murder, for larceny. Whatever, they arrested him, they threw the book at him. One of the things they threw the book at him also, that he stole the pencil on his way out of the bank. You know, look at this report. Are you kidding? He stole $70,000 or $50,000, took him through banks and bonds. See, tell me, in the report was also, as he walked out, there's a pencil, and he took the pencil. Rashi says, that what happened was, that day, Esau came. What did he do, Esau, that day? He murdered, he raped, he denied existing of Hashem, denied that the Revolution watches over him, denied Kiyas and Esau. Five terrible avodas. Then the Torah says, you know what Esau is? Let me tell you what Esau is all about. He says, the young Yemusa is left in the Nasheh by Yoichal, and he ate. Vayesh, and he drank. Vayokom, and he got up. Vayelech, vayizah, v'esva, v'esva, v'choyder. He insulted the v'chor. That's the sin. That's the problem. You know, sometimes people crash, and then it's a small crash. If that's your problem, now you're in good shape. I mean, he assaulted him, he murdered him, he raped the Na'amar also. See, that's terrible sense. But what Esav did today, he didn't want to use his seichel. Chol represents Reishus Chochma. This is why he sealed himself now from now on. Esav put a seal onto himself. I don't want to use Chochma. I'm going after the bodily functions. That's what I'm all about. Let me tell you something, which the Chassidish before say an amazing thing. I said before that Esav, we took away the Yud of Esav, was taken away by Yaakov, and we want to take away the Vav of Esav too. So all Esav will be Ash. Ash means he'll rat away, he'll foul away, he'll disintegrate. Ash means, if you notice, it says in this Pasuk Lamed Daled, the Yaakov begins to evolve in the Yud. Nusaleh Salechem is a Vayoichal, Vayesh, Vayukom, Vayelach, Vayivas. It says five times the Vav and Yud beginning of the word. Because Esav here went, and what he did with this, the Torah makes such a big thing, he showed that by him, I want Gashmias, and that's all I want. I don't want anything spiritual at all. So he lost the Vav, the Yud he lost. The Vav stays with him because in order Esav, the Yitzhar to exist, it needs a little bit of truth. In Kabbalah we call it, it needs some sparks of Kedusha. And the some sparks are, this is what I just said. So, our avodah is that we should work very hard. Our avodah is to seek the truth that's with us. And ask yourself over and over, but take time for yourself. As I mentioned this every week, take time for yourself and ask yourself, is this the truth? Is this is worth doing? Am I doing the right thing? Is there anything I could change? And over and over, what am I doing in this world? What did I come? Did I come to eat? Sleep? And you scream out to Hashem. The more you think this way, the more you pour fire into your soul. It gets lit up. And you get to see, this is important. See, we all have to ask this question, every one of us. And everyone at our level, there's things, nonsense that we're doing today, which we shouldn't be doing. But in order to stop, you've got to take time and, you know, get close to Hashem. And Hashem, here I am, I desperately need your help. Say something very, very important. Something very, very important about life. Yaakov had a very peaceful time, filled the brachas. Yaakov Avini what do you think Yaakov spent his day? Yaakov spent his day learning in yeshiva. Esav spent his day hunting, killing, robbing, thievery. Doing what Esav does a good job, Esav. And Yaakov was a Lissanadrish. All of a sudden, Yitzchak wants to give the brachas, wants to bless Esav, and the whole thing happened. Yaakov stole the brachas from his brother, he was blessed. Now, if you learn the Parsha, Yaakov even blessed many times. He was blessed by Yidanachum. That he was blessed, then Rivka says to Yitzchak, Please send Yaakov to find himself a wife. Give him another bracha, and then give him another bracha. You know that after the brachas, Yaakov's life was one piece of hell. First thing is, all the brachas, he's got around for his wife. He's a fugitive. Yaakov is running for his life. He didn't have a credit card and find the Motel 6. I don't know how he got around. It's hard for us to imagine. And he picked himself up, and in the middle, he finds the police force catches up to him. And he wants to kill him. So to make a pact of deal. I'm giving you everything that I have, and leave it. See, Esau likes cash. You can bribe him. So Yaakov gave him everything, and Eliphaz let him go. So he traveled as a public keeper, Makli and Makli as Yaakov as with the staff. Then finally he comes to his uncle Laban, and he thinks now he's going to find a wife. His uncle takes advantage of him. Maybe next week I'll explain that in Glenn. Takes advantage of him. He says, you want Rachel? 7 years later. I know some of you have great wives. I don't know anyone who's going to work 7 years to get a wife. And he could marry. There's plenty of women he could have married. So he took advantage of him. He's 7 years of labor. And then comes the night of the wedding. Laban pulls a fast one over him. I don't think in history this ever happened. You're prepared, you're looking forward for the night of your wedding, you wake up in the morning, it's the wrong lady. The house, or maybe it's in the movies. But in real life, you know, are you really hating this was for Yaakov Avinu? He was the laughing stock in town. He wakes up with the wrong wife. So then he tells him, do you want Rachel? Another 7 years of labor. Yeah. I don't know anyone who worked 14 years to get a wife. 14 years! Wow. And finally, after 6 years, Laban gives him a hard time. He had a terrible time with the sheep, and then so does Dina, and so does Yosef. Yaakov Avinu, after the brachas, had a hard time. See, we would think that once you get all the brachas, life should be one smooth sailing. Everything should be geschmack, great, everything should be working, and everything, you know, I should hit the jackpot in any part of my life. It never is this way. It never will be this way. It never was that way. Only on the mission before losing an agent. Life is a struggle. Just to live. And more so to live as a Jew. And more so to be connected to Hashem, to make a relationship with God. Most people, having a relationship with Hashem, is a strange thing. Most people, you know, Jeff, come on, you got the missus on the Torah. No, the Torah wants us to be mad in love with him. Fear him, love him. So the struggle, life is really a struggle. Yeah, so the answer really is, maybe I'll explain next week again, the brachas Yaakov put away for later, much generations later. Put away for many, many generations later. He put away the brachas. But life here is really tough. But we have to remember, our life is easier than ever, ever people have. Other Marishan. After he came out of Gan Eden, no one had such a comfortable life. We all came out of my car. Maybe if you live around the block, you didn't. But we all came out of my car. And everyone has a smartphone. We will live in it. It's amazing how much life the Bushan granted us. So, what I want to encourage you all is to take time for yourself. And sit and talk to Hashem. Have a relationship with Hashem. Talk to him. Make Hashem a reality in your mind. Be aware that he is with you all the time. all the times with you. And the second thing, as I say always, walk around with a huge fake smile. Because if you walk around smiling, you'll become happy. And the truth is, unhappiness does not help you. If you have a tough day today, and you walk around unhappy, it's not going to make your life better today. Smile. We're alive. Unfortunately, look what happened in Israel. There are people that didn't make it tonight. We are living. We have a chance to daven. We have a chance to make another bracha. We are living. Grab hold of life now. And how do you grab off? The more emes you take into yourself. You sit down and talk to Hashem and say, I'm looking for the truth. Help the truth penetrate me. Shlach orcho de'anitcho. I should see clearly my own shortcomings. And I should fix my shortcomings. And I should not be fooled. Esau's trick was tzayin. Tzayin means a hunter. Tzayin means he trapped. Esau represents the Esau. He traps us all the time. I know that, you know, it's tough to be disciplined yourself, but it's the greatest thing that you can do for yourself. You sit down and you close your eyes and you say to Hashem, how I am, whatever's going on in your life. When I'm on the anxiety, I just say, here I am, Hashem, so much is going on in my life, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start and what to tell you. But this is what's going on. I'm stressed about this, I'm stressed about this, and I really need your help. The more you talk about it, and then you could talk about, Hashem, I would love to be in love with you. I would love to be obsessed with you. Talk to Hashem that you want to make him a relationship.
Such a personal relationship, I mean deeply personal relationship, with this abstract force of the universe, who created the whole universe, and you, it's so uneven, it's like, how do I, it's not like I'm talking to a friend, it's
That's why it's such a challenge, and that's why you have to daven. Davening makes it the reality. That's, you're right. Davening makes it. The more you daven, the more you can make the relationship.
When you're davening, you can like, praise God or ask for help.
But it makes it into a hand. It does. You start realizing everything that I have that I could breathe, that I could listen to music, that I could see and hear and feel, that is God's gift to me. We are really nothing. All we need is one toothache. And one Ebola, you know, thing get into your system, and you toast.
Right.
You're so vulnerable. And I didn't make myself. I was not asked to be born. I was not asked to. And I don't know when I'm going to exit this world. Imagine, we have no idea the last day of our life. And Hashem doesn't tell us. But he created this enormous universe. And he says, I want you. Every one of you, he says, I want. So the more you do it, the more you get closer to Hashem. Okay.